Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, positively getting through this big Minnesota week. And we got two crab cake tours here in No Walleye. On Wednesday, we're at Coco's Pub having the coconut shrimp. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I'll have Raven scratch-offs to give away. Also, our friends at GBMC, who are slapping on the rubber gloves for me for the big appointment later on in the month. Yes, I'm on a colonoscopy. I got the little milkshake out. I got all that. And I've been getting chastised by everybody for not having it. I'm 57 years old. So there is your public service announcement to get your PSA number, do all that checked. And I'll have mine for you by Thanksgiving Day. Also on Friday, we're going to be at Pizza John's. I get to eat anything I want between now and like the 21st of the month. So I'm going to be having some French fries, proper crinkle cut gravy, double provolone cheesesteak, and probably a pizza to go. We'll see you on Friday at Pizza John's. It is the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. This guy, I've already given him a kick low, true north, and I've already gone walleye on him. You know, I love the people of Minnesota. I've never met anybody from Minnesota who wasn't nice, or at least Minnesota nice. But this guy is actually a Marylander. He's kind of sort of one of us, except that he rooted for the Burgundy and Gold team. He has been the longtime voice of the Minnesota Vikings, as well as he's done hockey. And really, his mojo was at the Canterbury Track, calling something that I am completely incapable of doing, which is calling horse races. Paul Allen is a legend in the Twin Cities. How many years you've been there now, Paul? 30-something? How many?
Nestor, what's up, bud? Good to see you again. I moved here full time in 1998. So, and I'm 59 years of age, man. I've had four colonoscopies. Okay. So I'm going to be the next one to do that to you and metaphorically slap your hand.
It's making me itch right now. Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what, ma'am? And I'm sure people have told you this, the day before and the 24 hours and everything with what you have to do to clean things out for that garage cleaning. That ain't great. But if tell me your colonoscopy appointment is early in the morning.
7:20 a.m., baby. 7:20. I put it off an extra 3 weeks when she offered me like a 10 a.m. and we can do lunchtime. No. Come on, man. I've Googled this. I know better. You know what I mean? So yeah. I appreciate you on behalf of my GBMC partners for like talking me through this, because a lot of folks are trying to talk me through this.
Well, another sneaky pro tip here is the day before. So the day you wake up for the cleansing day, the day before the colonoscopy, get up at 2:30, 3:30 in the morning. Mm-hmm. All right. To make sure the night before the colonoscopy, you're super, super tired, because it ain't easy to go to sleep on an empty stomach. So just keep that in mind. That's helped me over the years. And God bless you, man.
I've written off the whole weekend. And, you know, my wife has promised to make Thanksgiving dinner early for me. So I'm appreciative of that. Minnesota Vikings, I've watched your team play the last couple of weeks. I've seen them play with Carson Wentz. And I thought, they're on the schedule. We need some wins. We're 1-5. And then I see J.J. McCarthy come back. You go to Detroit and win a game that you've been doing this a long time. It's a really big franchise win in Detroit this week. I mean, like, the Ravens are coming maybe at the wrong time at this point, because it certainly feels like they put the band back together last weekend pretty well in Detroit.
Yeah, that's key, the way you put that, man. And I don't think, you know, with the Ravens, as of this recording, with the Ravens favored by 4 at US Bank Stadium this weekend, that number surprises me. And I'm not Homer announcer guy with that. It's if the Ravens are favored against a 4-4 Vikings team, okay, I'm not offended by that. But when you're getting up around 3.5 or 4, I mean, we're starting to talk about a road team being up by like 9, 10, or 11 late to avoid, as the colonoscopy would go, the backdoor cover. So I'm still trying to figure that thing out. But Jay, when you say put the band back together, the Vikings got healthy at Detroit with tackles Christian Darrisaw, a Maryland native, and Brian O'Neill. The tackles got healthy. Linebacker Andrew Van Ginkle is one of the most important people on the team. It's not even close. He had missed 5 games. He came back, and McCarthy came back, and it was apparent things had slowed down for him compared to the first 2 games. So I just don't get this point spread, man. I mean, you go into Ford Field and you beat that team that was undefeated at home, winning each game by 15 points or more. They had beaten us five consecutive times. I respect the heck out of Lamar, you know, and I recognize the Ravens defense has improved since some injuries and some legitimate problems early in the season. But a full-strength Minnesota Vikings team is a pretty good Minnesota Vikings team. So we'll see.
Well, bet the Vikings, you get 4 points. I certainly would think there's value on that. And, you know, I never talked about betting here in 35 years. I'm not a better at any, but it is interesting to see what public perception is of the Ravens, right? And public perception
of the
Ravens is they're going to be a playoff team. I saw Coward digging the snow out the other day on the pregame show. And I've been of the mindset, even at 1-5, that if they got Lamar back, they could be better. But let me tell you, offensive line stinks. Defensive line stinks. Pass rush doesn't even stink. Pass rush doesn't exist here. And we're halfway through the season. So the Ravens have gotten healthier as well, whether it was Pat Ricard, whether it's Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith being back. They were a better team last week against Miami. Paul, I haven't seen them look good yet. I haven't seen the team that people think is a playoff team yet out on the field. And part of that is the O&D line that they lose most battles. On most plays, they're losing battles. So, and they haven't been able to get the cart out of the garage with Derrick Henry because the offensive line has been not good.
Wow.
Make the case for Minnesota, for McCarthy, and for watching Sam Darnold do what he's doing. And also, you know, I love your coach, Kevin O'Connell. I've had a couple of breakfasts with him over the course of time when he first got hired. And I really liked him. And I have almost like a coach crush on him. I watch him from afar thinking, kind of like when I identified REM as being a band that might be big one day. I looked at him and thought, they hired the right guy. In Minnesota, I felt that way from the minute I met that guy. So there's a little piece of me, not just for wanting you to get a ring and finally, you know, Hagen and all of you to have a parade out there and have a good time. But I do feel like you have the right guy. And if he's made this decision on the quarterback and went in that direction with his career on the line, because you're tied to your quarterback, it says to me how much belief O'Connell has in McCarthy. And therefore, I should believe in it, too.
I love how you laid that out because it, I mean, think about it. O'Connell starts in 2022. Kirk Cousins is the quarterback. Cousins goes lights out in 2022. He's even better in 23. Then he pops his Achilles at Lambeau Field and we start wheeling through Josh Dobbs, Nick Mullins, and Jaren Hall. All right, so that's a 7-win year. Sam Darnold comes here last year and into the 2024 season. You know, I just heard a lot of things about Darnold, you know, when he was with the Jets and Carolina and stuff. And I'm like, I mean, with all due respect, if you think this is Matt Rhule holding up one of those big cards with Ronald McDonald here, Adrian Barbeau here, Nestor Aparicio here, and Chesapeake Bay Seafood House down here on the sideline, that this ain't that coach. And Sam's not going to be throwing to Robbie Anderson and tight end Ian Thomas. I mean, our skill guys here are pretty good. And that went to bearing its fruit. So much so, Sam got a $100 million deal with Seattle. All right, well, we had Daniel Jones on the practice squad late last season. I think the plan was for J.J. to start this year and Jones to back him up. Well, Jones and his representation caught wind in Indianapolis. You know, the Florida kid can't stay healthy, and he might not even be that good in the first place. So why don't you come on over here? So Jones leaves. Darnold leaves. Now it's McCarthy and Sam Howell. All right, well, for whatever the reason, they traded Sam Howell. They didn't like what they saw. In comes Carson Wentz. Through all of that, the head coach has remained calm. He found a way to get two victories out of Carson Wentz despite a tremendously injured shoulder while he was playing. And McCarthy is better in start three than he was in starts one or two. There's a reason O'Connell is the reigning coach of the year. Not because he's an elite football mind and a really innovative offensive mind. It's because he galvanizes man and he works really well with this generation of player.
Paul Allen is PA on the mic. You can find him out at social media. He is in Minnesota in the Twin Cities. Give a little background on your DMV background because you're an old school Caps fan. You're an old school horse racing guy and Triple Crown and all that. We had Breeders' Cup last week. Packed my place at Costas over here at the Timonium OTB as I was out over the weekend
Timonium.
As well. Yeah, but
wow.
Hey, they're still racing in Timonium sometimes.
Wow.
Hey, we race in September around October, August,
that's
September.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But your background, you're a Marylander, right?
Yeah, I lived in Oxon Hill. I lived in Forestville. I lived in Anacostia, where RFK used to be. So, due to multiple divorces, my mom, had us moving all over the world. I've lived in the Philippines. I lived in Hawaii for 6 months. Went to high school and junior college in Los Angeles. Started my racetrack announcing career in San Francisco. Worked there for 5 years and did the Gypsy Trail around the country from San Francisco to Grand Island, Nebraska, to fill in for a guy for 5 weeks, then up to Shakopee, Minnesota, and they're racing in the Baltimore Positive Classic. So that's the racetrack part of it. That got me to Minnesota, and just through the grace of God, he put me here at FM 100.3 KFAN, first radio job. Still doing it, 9 to noon here in 2025. And I also auditioned to become the Vikings play-by-play guy. I initially lost, and then I did fan line, but they liked something they heard from my tapes. And then they gave me the job in 2002. I've held it since then. But I mean, I'm so deeply rooted with Washington and Baltimore sports that, I mean, I was at a World Series game between the Orioles and the We Are Family Pirates, with Tim Stoddard trying to close out a game for the Orioles. My man Eddie Murray at first base with his hair coming out of his hat. We got Dennis Martinez starting, Tippy Martinez coming in for him, and then growing up a Redskins fan, I was there with Jack Pardee and George Allen, and when my mom would take me to Carlisle, Pennsylvania for Redskins training camp, I mean that was like the highlight of the summer, getting autographs from Billy Kilmer and John Riggins and Dyron Talbert and Ron McDowell and Ken Houston and all those
Charlie
immortality-like
Brown.
names.
Yeah, there
Yeah,
you go.
right. And I'm also a bat. I played basketball through junior college, so I've always loved the NBA. So that takes me back to Kevin Greavy, Bob Dandridge, Elvin Hayes, Wes Unseld, Dick Motta,
Biggie.
and the Bullets. Right, Dick Motta. I think they were playing the Sixers or the Spurs in the playoffs when they were down 3-1, and Dick Motta said the opera ain't over till the fat lady sings. So here we are in 2025, the cancel culture world in which we live, and I'm thinking to myself, what if Dick Motta now said, "The opera ain't over till the fat lady sings"? What's going to happen with that, like around the Twitter sphere and things like that? So I've been all over the place, man, but Baltimore, Washington, D.C., Oxon Hill, Prince George's County, deeply rooted in my heart.
What do you make of the Ravens from afar? I mean, you're studying them a little bit this week and getting ready for the
I'm
game.
in. Yeah.
The potential here and the 1-5 and the injured quarterback.
Well, they ain't 1-5.
Well, not anymore, but they were.
But we're not 3-4 anymore either. I mean, it was interesting to me, Nestor, when you were talking about the defensive and offensive lines. All right, so they trade with Tennessee for Draymond Jones. That's kind of an indicator that Coach Harbaugh, whom I respect the bleep out of, is like, we need more pass rush and we need it right now. Okay, so I've heard that and seen that all year. When it comes to Ronnie Stanley at this stage of his career, Faalele, the right guard, played at the University of Minnesota, and the rest of those big guys on the offensive line, that surprised me when you said that the offensive line isn't performing admirably. What's the read on that? Like, why would you say that?
Guards haven't been good. Faalele
Wow.
hasn't been good. The guard play's been underwhelming. That's affected Linderbaum in the center position. Right tackle's taken a step back this year two, second round pick out of Washington. And the Ronnie Stanley thing is, look, it was a miracle that he made it back on the field and performed at the level he did the last two seasons. And then when it
Right.
came time to say, are we going to go in a different direction? Are we going to let him go take $20 million somewhere else a year? They gave him the money and brought him back. And he was good enough the last couple of years for sure. Not where he was elite lottery pick out of Notre Dame a decade ago. None of
Yeah.
us are what we used to be 10 years ago. But in the case of their offense and what they've tried to do in running the ball and then protecting Lamar as a pocket passer and wanting him to not run, Lamar hasn't wanted to run. They don't run the RPO the way that I thought
Wow.
would be most effective in the way that you have safeties and linebackers' hips freezing, whether Lamar's taking it right or Derrick Henry's taking it left, or whether Lamar's going to eat and throw it over your head to Zay Flowers or Rashad Bateman, another one of your
Yeah.
Minnesota guys. So We have not seen this be effective this year. I'm just
Bro.
being like, first half of Buffalo, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they came out against Miami after halftime on Thursday night and put two drives together. But this has
Wow.
not looked like the machine that it has looked like at various points that have won Lamar two MVPs and got him cheated out of another one last year.
Well, Nestor, I'm going to tell you this right now. I mean, the Vikings held Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery, and maybe the best offensive line in the NFL with the Lions. I mean, they had 25 rushing yards at halftime. And running back Aaron Jones played half the game. He left with a shoulder and a toe, and he outran Gibbs and Montgomery by himself in just a half. Okay, so now that's really, really good, right? That was only the second time this year the Vikings had Andrew Van Ginkle here, Jonathan Greenard here, Blake Cashman in the middle. Because of that, big time or identified as big time free agent Javon Hargrave, in the defensive tackle, he was unbelievable because the attention was going to other players. That's at the Lions' last game. All right, now Saquon in Philadelphia came to US Bank Stadium a few weeks ago, Nestor, and the Vikings defense without Van Ginkle did an awesome job against Saquon. They put him on a nondescript game. Jalen Hurts went for a perfect passer rating, only the second perfect passer rating against the Vikings in the history of the team. So, really good against the run. Next game, they go to play the LA Chargers on Thursday night. Well, Kamani Vidal, and that rushing attack went for 200 and change. Now, I understand what you're saying about the offensive line, and it's a massive offensive line. But with those tight ends and the way they use them, and then that 532 pounds of beef with Rickard and Henry coming at you, that has been the number one problem point for the Minnesota Vikings defense all season. Jumbo packages, just mowing them over. But that was without Van Ginkle. So, I'm making Andrew Van Ginkle here sound like a cross between Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor. I'm just telling you right now that he is one of the most important players on the team. He's only played two games and eight snaps, but they won both the road games where he played basically the whole game. They've won every game Van Ginkle's played. They're 3-0 with Van Ginkle. Against Cincinnati, man, he played eight snaps and had two sacks. And then he had a neck injury. And then he came back last game, played 39, changed the whole thing. So I think they're more squared away with the Henry, Ricard, jumbo package, Lamar thing than they were when Justin Herbert was just running all over the field for a bunch of yards. So I think the Vikings have a great chance to win this weekend, man.
It is really amazing how last week is so different than this week in this league. Paul Allen is here. He is the voice of the Minnesota Vikings. He'll be calling the game out in the Twin Cities as the Ravens get on the plane. Three in a row on the road. This is number two for the Ravens as they go out. Speaking of the road and how tough it is to win on the road, and look, for 26 years, I went everywhere, every game. I've been in every
Wow.
stadium, full, empty, good times, bad times, all of that. I put your stadium on a football, and I've only been in it three times. I've seen three games at your place. One of them was a Super Bowl game. But the noise and the home field advantage, and I think Baltimore had that during the Ray Lewis era. You probably
Oh,
came in here with
no.
Spurgeon win
No.
and during that
Bro.
era and whatever.
No,
But
Baltimore had it in 2021 when we went there, and I had forgotten because we don't get it. I love M&T Bank Stadium. I just love the broadcasting booth location. The fans are super loud at that stadium for an outdoor stadium. I don't think it gets as much credit as it should for how loud it is because everybody's on the jock of the 12s at Seattle and Soldier Field and stuff like that. I've been to them all, man. I'm telling you right now. That Baltimore Ravens spot, that's as loud an outdoor stadium as I've ever heard in my life.
well, be a homer now in Minnesota and talk about your own building because the
It's
skull
nice.
thing, the noise thing, the third and long where you don't pass block well to begin with, you can't hear things, Lamar's penchant to get very frustrated when things go wrong. I think this is I think it's a cat house you got out there. And I think
Well,
it's very, very difficult to operate on the road. And anybody just looks and says, well, we've steamrolled these NFC teams, we steamroll
yeah.
them. I don't feel like the mystique of this particular Ravens group is that group from 2, 3, 5 years ago where Marshall Yanda was, pancaking everybody and like all of that. I would say this, the home field advantage part also shocks me on the 4 points on the line to say
Yeah.
this, not only a tough game, not only a tough opponent on the
Don't get it.
road and all that, but to me, of all the places, and I think of Denver as being kind of like a place you don't want to go when they're good, and they're good now. All of a sudden, Payton's got that thing going on. I wouldn't want to go there and play with incomplete and the air and all that goes in Denver. But I put Minnesota number two, and I've been to Seattle a bunch, and it's loud, fine, but it's not dome loud, Minnesota loud,
No.
like it will be in the fourth quarter on Sunday if the Vikings have a 4-point lead and Lamar has the ball.
Well, in Colorado, they have dispensaries. So it's just not as loud
It's
and
gotten mellow.
wild
It's
as it.
gotten a little
Bro,
mellow.
I'm
Okay.
telling you, it's
Indica
gotten
will
a
do
little bit
that.
more
It'll take
mellow over the
it
years.
will.
And I think it's because of those dispensaries. But nevertheless, our building is super loud. You got the skull chant. It's beautifully lit. The pivoting doors that are massive on the west side of the building facing downtown, they'll open those depending on the weather. That's a beautiful situation. But yeah, the crowd is incredibly loud. It's a difficult place to win, and people don't have to take the announcer's word as creed with that. It's like Amon-Ra St. Brown last week. He does a podcast, and he's talking, even though the game was at Ford Field, and Ford Field's really loud too, by the way. He was talking about stadiums around the league, and he kind of said the same thing that you said of Javon Hargrave when we signed him. He's like, the skull chant and the audible levels at US Bank Stadium are things that he'll never forget. And now he plays for us. So it definitely is a home field advantage. So far this year, man, we lost on Sunday Night Football to Atlanta. We crushed Cincinnati. And we lost at home to Philadelphia, in kind of a tight game. So 1-2 at home. But what's interesting now, Nestor, and this may seem trite to some people because they're like, all right, you guys fly on charters, you stay at nice hotels with your 150 to 200 person traveling party. We have chartered buses that take us to and from stadiums with police escorts on the beltway or on freeways or on roads. Yeah, all of that is fantastic, no doubt. However, you still got to do the job at an incredibly high level. And the first game on the road was Monday Night Football. Next week, Sunday Night Football. Then you play Cincy at a normal time, noon Central, 1 Nestor time. After that, you're in Dublin. Then you're in London. Then you come back, you get a bye, you play Philly, and then you got a Thursday night game at Justin Herbert and the Chargers. We finally have settled in to the cadence of Sunday, Sunday noon, Sunday noon, Sunday noon, Sunday noon. That's so important for creatures of habit like me and like players and coaches. So I think that's going to help the Vikings the rest of the way.
Yeah, the Thursday night games are so disjointed. I mean, the Ravens have that going on again 2 weeks from now, where they play on Thursday and then come or on Sunday and play Thanksgiving night against the Bengals. So, PA, I love you, man. I'm sorry I'm not coming out to eat some
I love
walleye and
you.
hang out and go to Paisley Park with you and like do that thing. But I'm gonna come out. My wife's never been to Target Field because my baseball tour when I did that in 15, she wasn't on that part of the trip, and so I still. I have a summer trip coming to Minnesota. After doing 10 days here at Super Bowl when it was 20 below, I owe myself a nice June or July weekend in Minneapolis, don't I?
Well, hold
Maybe.
on. Before we leave, I didn't. You're an elite music mind, specifically live music. I didn't see McCartney when he played at US Bank Stadium. That was about 3 weeks to a month ago. Have you seen him on this live
I
tour? And
saw
if
him
so,
right
what do you
before
think?
Minnesota. I saw him in Albuquerque a month ago. I saw him at a tiny little shed, a little Merriweather, a little tiny
Bro, come
outdoor
on.
shed on the top of his
How'd
building.
you do that?
Isleta Amphitheater. Paid $70, sat on the roof. Hey, Jude, don't make
How'd you
it
do that?
bad. We went to for the first. Well, see, Chad Steele thought he was crushing my career by throwing me out of the media, but that's still not true. What it's done is it's allowed me to do things I've never really wanted that I've wanted to do that I've never been able to do. So
Bro, you're the
the
best.
Albuquerque Fiesta, Balloon Fiesta, you're aware of what it is, right? You know about it? Legend of it. It happens during my birthday week every year, and it happens like Columbus Day, second week October. I've never been able to go, and I've always like hoped for a Phoenix game or a Dallas game or something that would get me that part of the country where I could do it. So this year, I went out to Albuquerque, and McCartney was playing on Tuesday night. So I did Albuquerque, McCartney, and then we did the balloons, and then we went to Phoenix to see a Meat Loaf tribute act. So it was a long story, but it's been a really good concert year. I saw the Who at the Hollywood Bowl. with the Joe Perry Project and Steven Tyler. I've seen the Eagles at the Sphere recently. I saw the
Wow.
Cult. I saw the Cult at the Warner Theater. So,
Yeah.
the best thing I've done in recent times was seeing Cameron Crowe and Sheryl Crow do a symposium about Cameron Crowe's life as a music critic and his new
Wow.
book. So there's
Wow.
my pop culture for you, PA. Is that
Look
good?
at you, brother. Yeah. Well, with Paul McCartney, maybe I'm amazed. That's one of my all-time favorite songs.
He played
And
that song
see,
in Albuquerque.
yeah, this doesn't necessarily go over that well with old school music snobs. So let's not take things personally, okay? I mean, I grew up in Washington, D.C., listening to Sly and the Family Stone, Tower of Power, Brothers Johnson, Deep Commodore's Cuts. We can get to Bootsy Collins, I'd Rather Be With You, who, yeah, bass player for Parliament Funkadelic. I didn't grow up liking the Beatles, okay? I'm not a big Beatles guy. Now, I'm going to recognize, Come Together and Hey, there are a bunch of songs the Beatles have that I love, but I'm not like a huge Beatles guy. So I like McCartney and Wings more than I like the Beatles.
He played
And when I
Jet,
say
he plays those
that
songs.
to some people, they're like silly love songs
Yeah.
and silly Paul Allen and just want to slap me in my face.
Love me do. Please please me. Go back to Revolver,
Yeah.
get help. He opened with Help, so
Yeah.
and now I go back and listen to the tapes and his voice is a little thin. I mean, and my
Well, that's
wife
the
pointed
problem.
that out and I told my
Right.
wife, I'm like, and I'll tell you this, Paul
Yeah.
Allen on the mic. We don't pick on Paul McCartney here, okay? We don't,
Yeah.
you know what I'm saying? We
Yeah.
just, it's Paul McCartney.
Well,
He can do whatever he wants.
I understand, but that voice part that you just said, Nestor man, that's I got to work through this
Go see
because
Bryan Adams and Pat Benatar when they come to
this is
Minnesota to watch. They're great.
eliminating live music for me, which is my number one hobby. Like, I won't go see Michael McDonald because he can't hit the high notes.
Go see Bryan Adams. Go see Pat Benatar. They're coming in a couple
My
weeks. They're
all-time favorite,
fantastic.
Daryl Hall, when he played at XL Energy Center, and for some of my favorite Daryl Hall and John Oates songs, he brought out the lead singer of Train, who was the opening act. What's that guy's name? Patrick Monahan or something?
Monahan, yeah.
Yeah. And so he came out and did the high notes on like Sarah Smile and songs like that. And I'm like, I've seen Daryl and John 30 some odd times. Greatest duo in the history of music for blacks, whites, and all. When you grow up in the Washington, D.C. area, and Daryl Hall is like Lucius Tisdale, Miles Spires, Eric Wainwright, Danny Norton, Billy Camilio, my best friends back then. Well, their families are loving this tall white guy with the blonde hair. I'm loving him too because it's like a fit-in factor. And man, he was just hitting those high notes so good, but he can't hit them anymore. He had to bring out a train guy to do the high notes, and I'm like, that's it. Can't do it anymore.
Blue-eyed soul, you look a little like Michael McDonald these the period of time here, but hey man, I appreciate you. Always good to see you. Call it straight on Sunday. I'm looking forward to coming on your show out in the Twin Cities this week too. Paul Allen, he is PA on the mic. He is the longtime
Love you,
voice
bud.
of the I appreciate all thing. We're gonna do a show together. I'm coming out to Minnesota because I
In.
don't come for sports anymore. I'm coming for music. That's it. I'm
In.
Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570 Towson Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore positive.